This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I greet you with the greetings of peace. I'm your host, Fatima Ali. In the first series, Brother Idris Khamisa and Sadullah Khan dealt with moving from where you are to where you want to be. Due to the tremendous popularity of that first series and the overwhelming request for a series on human relations, we offer you this inspiring presentation on the path to positive relationships with yourself and with others. In this series, our presenters, Idris Khamisa and Sadullah Khan, will be focusing on the path to positive relationships. The topics to be discussed are 1. Getting in touch with the real you. 2. Emotional wisdom. 3. Improving human relations. 4. The friends you choose. Idris Khamisa is an international consultant in education and human development. He began his career as a teacher of English. His passion and expertise for the subject culminated in his nomination as the chairman of the English Society of South Africa. He embraced the Muslim school movement in 1987 and since then has been a head teacher of 3 schools. He has conducted numerous workshops in Australia, United States, Canada, England, Middle East, Nigeria, Lusaka, and throughout South Africa. He was one of the founding members of AM South Africa. He is an advisory member of IBER, International Board of Educational Research and Resources. He is the co-author of the IBER Manual for Muslim Schools. His expertise is in staff development and curriculum design. His creativity made him a dynamic lecturer in didactics and methodology at IPSA, International Peace University of South Africa. He also conducts in-service training for business corporations. As a parenting expert and a marriage counselor, he conducts workshops on these topics. Youth leadership is another area of his focus. He is a regular guest on national and community radio stations. Sheikh Sadullah Khan has studied law in South Africa, journalism through Britain, and religious studies in Egypt. He co-presented a weekly Wise Living television program in the USA, from the streets of LA to the hearts of the world. He has presented papers at numerous international conferences in Malaysia, Belgium, Nigeria, Egypt, USA, Iran, Botswana, Canada, Sierra Leone, Sri Lanka, Kuwait, Mexico, and Turkey. He is the author of Dimensions of the Quran and co-translator of classical text, Epistle for the Seekers of Guidance. Sadullah Khan has served as lecturer for the Academy of Judaic, Christian, and Islamic Studies at UCLA. Currently, he serves as director of Empower Development International as a motivational speaker, addressing issues of personal empowerment, youth development, leadership training, art of communication, and fostering interfaith, intrafaith understanding and cooperation. We greet you with the greetings of peace. I'm your host, Fatima Ali, and in this series, our presenters, Idris Khamisa and Sadullah Khan, focus on the path to positive relationships. The theme to be discussed in this session is improving human relations. Brother Idris, in our attempt at improving human relations, what does human relationships as a subject entail?
I think many people have the erroneous notion they can go through life without interacting with other people. They can isolate themselves. But those that find true success are people who are able to interact with fellow humanity. And that's part of our responsibility, is part of what we do. And I would also, before I really define that, I think it's critical for people to understand the importance of human relations. Because a person listening to the CD might say, you know what? I don't have any friends. I don't interact with anyone. I'm happy. You think you are happy. When you interact with others, get to know them, because they are those individuals can help you understand who you really are. So human relationships really entails the following. It could be based on marriage. It could be through affiliation. Maybe you are part of the same club or same society, the same team, as it were. Kinship is through family relationships, all kind of relationships, through affinity. Maybe you are inclined towards a certain hobby, whatever, or even some ideals. And this is part of who we are. And you speak to anyone, no one can really say that I have no association. You all have association of sorts. But how we deal with associations are very, very critical. And I'm hoping that those individual listening to the CD would really do a bit of self-reflection and see how best, having listened to it, they're able to enhance those relationships, make it far more meaningful than what it is at the moment.
Latching on to the different roles that we play within society and the different associations that we have, Sheikh Sadullah, would it be correct to say that knowing how to deal with people is the foundation for effective human relations?
Indeed, Fatima. I mean, human relations, as Brother Idris explained and defined, is about being connected or associated with others or to others, whether by blood or by marriage or by affiliation, whether by kinship or affinity, or even by ideals. It's a particular type of connection existing between human beings and relating to how we deal with each other, at times out of choice, like friendship, and at times without option, for example, family. I mean, you don't choose to be born into a particular family, so you are born into that family as such. Your parents are your parents, not by your choice, and your children are your children, not by your choice. Friends are by choice, and that's why friends is so important, and perhaps in the next CD or next session, we may deal with the notion of choosing friends. But it's very correct what you are saying, Fatima. Knowing how to deal with people effectively is the foundation for ideal human relations. Because the way we relate to people significantly affects how we live as social beings. Though we are born and live independently in a way, we are interdependent beings. And this greatly determines the quality of our communal life that we experience. You find in various cultures and ideologies and philosophies, you find the notion of social relations being an essential component of even the faith ideology or even of the culture. And this clearly indicates the significance of human relations to human existence. You know, wise ones have said that among the most important ingredients in the formula for a successful and fulfilling life is knowing how to get along with people. In fact, the renowned scientist Albert Einstein said, and I quote, "Strange is our situation here upon earth. Each of us comes for a short visit, not knowing why, yet sometimes seeming to a divine purpose." From the standpoint of daily life, however, there's one thing we do know, that man is here for the sake of other men. And you find this reflected in various cultures. In fact, one of the great poets of the East, Altaf Hussein Hali, said, "This is worship, this is religion, this is faith, that human beings be of benefit to humanity and to the rest of creation." So indeed, human relations, interhuman relations, and even human beings in the relationship with the rest of creation is fundamental for human coexistence as a social being.
Interestingly enough, behavioral scientist Dr. Halil Jameson stated, and I quote, "Relationships of all kinds are like sand held in your hand. Held loosely with an open hand, the sand remains where it is. The minute you close your hand and squeeze tightly to hold on, the sand trickles through your fingers. You may hold on to some of it, but most will be spilled. A relationship is like that. Held loosely with respect and freedom for the other person, it is likely to remain intact, but hold too tightly, too possessively, and the relationship slips away and is lost." Brother Idris, could you kindly comment on this?
I think these are very, very profound words. I like the analogy, the metaphor of the sand. And if I were to explain it, the whole idea, if you hold something loosely, and it's so important to do that because you're not smothering it, you're allowing the sand or the other person to grow, you are allowing it its individuality and its freedom. And the idea of if you hold something very, very tightly, it's about smothering someone, it's suffocating. In other words, you're imposing yourself. It is a domineering and relationship. And in such relationships, what happens, it is one-sided. You are what I call a control freak. The other person becomes a victim of the relationship. He does not grow because of his interaction with you, because he does not learn anything from you except how to control other human beings. So it's very, very important for us to understand that. Many people often complain about, and you find that many people who contemplate suicide, most often than not, it's about human relationships. It's about sadness. I've yet to come across a person who says, well, because of the tsunami, I killed myself in other parts of the world. Yes, if he lost his family members, perhaps he contemplates it, or we're not condoning it. At the same token, when you look at a person despondent, it's often about his child, about his friend, it's about his wife. And that's a reality. So the ability to manage, the critical word is how you manage relationships. In other words, it's not the same brush for this every person. You've got to deal with every person depending on those needs. And similarly, this metaphor is such a brilliant metaphor. The whole idea in our relationships with each other, we help each other to grow. We do not smother them. We allow them their identity. We do not stifle them. We do not stifle the creativity. Neither we stunt their imagination. In fact, such relationships that are positive are those in which both people grow, because we should be mutually enriching. It mustn't be one where there is a kind of self-enrichment. That means that sincerity is not there. It's not an innocent relationship. It's not based on the idea of support for each other. And what is important and what is critical in life, and we need to reflect and ask yourself, why are you his friend? Why? Who is the beneficiary of that relationship? Look at your marital relationship. What kind of relationship is this? Are you smothering your wife? Is she allowed to grow? How are you defining her? Look at your children. Are they growing, or are you trying to control them? Are they being smothered? And it's very important. The only way you'll understand that, sometimes we do these things unwittingly. It's very critical for us to get feedback. Now, in a situation where a person is holding the sand tightly and smothering that other individual is a victim of the relationship, would be too intimidated to express his feelings and express also perhaps his disdain at what is happening. So therefore, I encourage each one of you, look at critically all your relationships. Go to your wife or to your husband and say, listen, we married for such a period of time. Do I allow you to grow? Do I hold you too tightly? And you'll be surprised at what they're going to say. It's not so much how you also perceive yourself, it's also important how others perceive you. So it's, and as Sheikh Sadullah mentioned quite rightly when he spoke about this, this is really the foundation for not only effective human relationships, it's a foundation for happiness, a foundation for growth, is a foundation for tranquility. And your home, instead of being a place of contestation, it can be a site of, it can be like a sanctuary for you.
To truly engage the subject of improving human relations, I suggest that we focus on 7 essentials for improving human relations that you have provided me. Sheikh, let's start with you. Number 1, be genuine and sincere.
That's the fundamental basis of any action. Genuineness is who you are, who you really are, the core of your very being and why you do what you do. And sincerity is your moral compass that determines the reason why you do what you do. That's why in some traditions you have the notion that actions are by intentions. The actions themselves are not as valuable as the intention that precedes them, that motivates them. So in that regard, to be authentic, as Brother Idris always says, be authentic. Be genuine you. Don't try to relate to others by trying to impress them through acting like you think they want you to be, because then you are not going to be who you are. Be genuine from the start, and each person will have a chance to see you, who you are, if they can be comfortable with your perspective, or you with their perspective, and with your lifestyle, and they with your lifestyle. You see, wise ones have said, if you truly know who you are, and you know what you value, and you stand firmly for what you believe, and have the courage to act on what you believe, you cannot help but be sincere. So sincerity is fundamental. It's the essence of anything. It's the true measure of any act or any thought. Sincerity simplifies one's life. It improves integrity, enhances one's ability to deal effectively with themselves and with others, and make it easier for others to deal with them. So be yourself, be genuine, be sincere, be real, be who you are. But by the way, by saying being who you are, it doesn't mean if you're obnoxious, you must remain obnoxious. Be the best you that you can be, by the way. So be real, be who you are. It's surprising, you know, how many people go through life without ever recognizing that their feelings towards other people, their emotions, their feelings, are largely determined by their feelings towards themselves. You see, if you're not comfortable with your own self, you will never be comfortable with others. And that is why we don't often see things as they are. We see things as we are. There's a very famous incident of a person who went to a small town. He was moving from one town to another. So he saw an elderly person sitting on the veranda of the house, old farm town. And he asked the old man, sir, how are the people here? So he asked him, from where you had come, how were the people there? I said, they're obnoxious, backbiting, negative. He said, well, the people are here the same. A little while later, another traveler came by. Passing by, meeting the old man, asked him a question. He said, how are the people here? There's opportunities for growth and for jobs here, I believe. How are the people here? So he asked him, how were the people where you were? He said, oh, they were very nice. It's because of a lack of job that I'm coming here. I would never have left it. He was loving and kind. He said, well, the people are here too. Very often, it's not how the people are. Maybe it is the way you are. Because very often, we see things not as they are, but as we are. And one of the prayers of Prophet Muhammad was, O Allah, grant me the capacity to see things as they really are. Allahumma arini al-ashya'a kamahi. O Allah, grant me the capacity, show me things as they really are. So genuineness and sincerity is fundamental.
Yes, you know, alhamdulillah, the critical aspect regarding genuine and sincere is the fact that many people, out of their own insecurities, what happens, they try to appease other people. And so the other person is interacting not with your, as you said early on, with your actual self, but the perceived self. And when you are genuine and sincere, they're interacting with the real you. And in that way, their responses are also authentic. And what Sadullah said, and I want to just reinforce that particular point, it starts off from self-love. Not narcissistic love, not about looking at the mirror and saying, my gosh, how's it? I'm looking so beautiful today. I'm so handsome.
But you are.
That I know. But what is important is this, to love yourself for who you are. And when you love yourself, then you'll not be suspicious of another person. And if you not love yourself, and any person is complimentary towards you, you'll say, but why are they saying this? They maybe have another agenda. And the idea about genuineness, being authentic and sincere, is critical. And we want each one of you again to reflect on your own relationships and ask yourself, what is the motivation? Why do I interact with that person? Why do I meet with that person? What is it that I say? Do I say from my heart, or am I saying it to appease the other person?
Sheikh, number two is be ethical and consistent.
Yeah, consistency is very important. You know, if you can be the best you can be as often as you can be, wherever you are, then that's you. That's integrity. Being yourself at your best. There are times we are at our best. There are times we're not so good. There are times that we are at our worst. Great people, truly great people, people who have been models of excellence throughout history, whether Moses or Jesus or Abraham or Buddha or Confucius, people like these were ethically consistent. In other words, their behavior was such that despite the circumstances or the changing challenges that they faced, their ethics and moral values did not submit to the situation. In a situation where dishonesty was prevalent, they did not go with the flow, because they realized only, you know, live fish flow upstream, only the dead go with the flow. They were living, and that's why the examples are still alive. So ethical behavior is a matter of being consistent by extending to all persons the same respect and consideration that we claim and expect from others for ourselves. You see, ethics requires that there be consistency between how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. Very often people demand justice. Nothing wrong with that, but very few are just themselves. Very often we demand people be honest and true to us, but very rarely are we so towards other people. So everyone, as Immanuel Kant said, the philosopher, everyone is obligated to act only in ways that respect the human dignity and the moral rights of all persons. Consistency is the absence of contradictions. If you're not consistent, then you are different with different people. It doesn't mean your mood doesn't swing. It doesn't mean that different circumstances won't solicit a different response. That is true. But nonetheless, there must be an absence of contradiction. You know, you can't be timely with your prayer, for example, and untimely with paying of your staff. You can't be the forefront of demanding justice and then refuse to pay the laborer their wage who work for you. So justice is consistent. When you are a just person, you fight for justice and are just. You can't be a just person just because you protest for justice. So we need to understand this. So consistency is the absence of contradictions and is the hallmark of ethics. And ethics requires consistency. It requires that. There can't be ethics without consistency. In a sense, it's a moral standard of our actions and our values, and it should never be contradictory. And you know, integrity is fundamental to every good human being. And integrity is about being honest, about being honorable, and being yourself at your best as often as possible, wherever you can, in any situation.
You know, I'm reminded whilst Sheikh Sadullah gave such a beautiful response, I was thinking of something I heard many years ago when one priest spoke about a character sculptured stone. And he said, no matter what the weather, the poise of that individual never change. And he spoke about consistency, spoke about integrity. And in life, if we lack these things, really we are hypocritical. We are two-faced individuals. And that is so important. And that requires tremendous resilience and tenacity. At a time, it might mean even the loss of your job. It might mean even the loss of something dear to you, but you remain true to who you are. It's about being strongly principled. It's about having a set of values. In other words, you do not have a particular persona here, a different persona on the outside. A persona the at home, persona outside. A persona as a boss, but a different persona when you're working for someone else. And these are very critical aspects. And there's a huge demand. And sadly, if you look around us, there are very, very few people, leaders in society, even political leaders, have this critical, one of the most critical qualities of being ethical and consistent. If we have that, I like to believe in life, you will be able to say with every individual, there is transparency. With what you see is what you get. And once you can do that, this can affirm each other, you can support each other, and we will have a society, a world in which honesty prevails.
I think just to add to the point that Brother Idris mentioned on, in regard to the idea of consistency and sincerity. You see, one person is a single person under any circumstance, but your relationship is different with everyone. I'm a friend to someone, a neighbor to someone else, a father to someone, a son to someone, a husband to someone else. So though you play different roles, my principles don't change. Some people, there were different people, they're different. They're very friendly to their friends at work, but abusive to their spouses at home. So what are they? Are they abusive or are they friendly? So there's a schizophrenic development. So the point is, one person can be 1,000 different things to 1,000 different people, but his ethical, his or her ethical and moral values and principles still remains who you really are. Remember, not your job, not your name, not your surname, not your gender, who you really are. In other words, under any circumstance, the principles and values will remain the same.
We are discussing the 7 essentials for improving human relations. Thus far, we have covered 1, be genuine and sincere. 2, be ethical and consistent. Sheikh, let's focus on 3, be kind and empathic.
The most important element, I believe, is love and compassion. If you can't be loving and compassionate, you're not truly human. In fact, even animals have a degree of compassion and love. Love and mercy are the most beautiful adornments anyone can have. If you are devoid of love and mercy, you are devoid of the fundamental of being human. So I think kindness is one, generosity of spirit, being loving, being caring. At the same time, the notion of empathic. Now, sometimes you find, an example I can give is of the tsunami, but I just mentioned early on about the tsunami. The tsunami occurred in Indonesia. So, of course, many other parts of the world were affected. And I remember at that time, some people responded. Some people were sympathetic. Something happened over there. Let's send some food. Let's help them. That's being sympathetic. Empathic actually is better than that. Actually, not only are you helping, but you're actually feeling the way they feel. In other words, you internalize their feeling to the extent that you are informed about it. Of course, you are not them. If someone has lost a son or a daughter, you haven't lost a son or a daughter, but you actually feel. You're not just giving them something to help them and helping the cause only, but actually feeling somewhat the way they feel, putting yourself in their shoes. That's the best feeling to have, the best way to reflect your kindness, the best way to understand people. Then you get people who are just pathetic. So be sympathetic, be empathic, never be pathetic. Pathetic, for example, some people said, maybe it's God's punishment on them. Indonesia has many brothels, so God is punishing them. Instead of finding a crucible of meaning in that situation, what can I do? Maybe it's a test to me from God, what are you going to do in the situation? Rather than passing judgment on why that natural phenomena struck over there. So sometimes we become judgmental. And this is the worst thing. People who are too judgmental, they tend to be self-righteous and very often less empathic. Very often they are pathetic. So please, the idea of kindness and empathy is fundamental to improving human relations. In fact, the foundation for building a good human relationship.
In fact, what I want to add is the fact that when someone is kind and empathic, what really happens is this, that such an individual leaves a true legacy. When you hear people say he was a good man, what are they really saying? They say he understood us. He was kind. He was compassionate. He was caring. It's about those things that enhances your status in society. It enhances relationships. And that is so important. One of the reasons I think that many people lack that kindness, they are so self-absorbed, they're so concerned about their own agenda, that they miss everyday golden opportunities, even being kind to the street sweeper, being kind to the neighbor, a smile, a greeting. These are very important issues. And whenever anyone comes for help, and Sadullah mentioned, you know, quite beautifully the reference to a tsunami, you can sit back there and say, wow, what happened to them? And you get to move. Suddenly you're very clinical when you say so many million people were affected. These are facts and figures. But if you're not moved by it, if you do not try to put yourself in the shoes of the other person, you'll never understand them. I think it's important to look at a situation in its context, and nothing gives a person more joy. And one of the things that I often mention, I'll mention it again, that every human being loves the five A's: acceptance, acknowledgement, affirmation, appreciation, and affection. This is what is part of life. And you give that to any individual, what are you really doing? Not really massaging the ego, you're giving them meaning. You are telling them you are important. You are enhancing the self-esteem. You are telling them, you know what, I love you, I care for you. What is it in your heart? I'm here for you. And nothing can give you joy to know, you know, and thank God Almighty, my gosh, thank you so much for the friends. Because a true friend, as we will discuss, inshallah, God willing, is a gift to all of us.
And what's also beautiful is if you share positive joys with people and you compliment somebody and you smile to them, that smile that comes back also makes you feel even that you want to give more to the community. So that is what's so fascinating about the seven essentials for improving human relations. 4, improve communication, Sheikh.
Effective communication is an essential skill in any good relationship. Many people talk, but they don't communicate. Communication is saying what you mean and the other person understanding what you have said. Very often we talk to each other, but we don't really communicate. Hence, you find when people divorce and you ask them the problems that they have, you'll find very often the one never paid attention or never understood what the other has said. And you find it strange. They were so long together, they didn't really communicate. Saying what you truly mean and the other person knowing what you meant when you said what you said. So effective communication is an essential skill in any good relationship. Be clear about what you say and do not say what is unnecessary. The art of sharing your private thoughts and feelings with people you trust needs also to be moderated. Many people reveal too much, too soon, too unnecessarily. So revealing too much too soon can cause you to feel overly vulnerable. Sometimes you share something with someone and they don't share something with you. Or you tell them a secret and they don't tell you a secret back. Now you start realizing, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And do remember, Imam Shafi said, if you reveal your secret to someone and that person reveals a secret to someone else, don't be upset. Your chest was too narrow to contain your secret. Don't expect the other person's chest to be narrow to constrain your secret. Number two, your friend, you have a best friend whom you told your secret to, and your friend has a best friend whom he or she told a secret to. So revealing too much too soon can cause you to feel overly vulnerable and the listener to feel uncomfortable and sometimes even obligated to respond. Share only what is necessary and only to the extent what is necessary. Also check your assumptions, for misunderstandings can arise from acting on what you presuppose. That's why the Sufis say, do not speak until your thoughts have passed through four gates. Are these words true? Are they kind? Are they necessary? Are they beneficial? If any of the answers is no, do not say it. Think about that.
What I want to add is that part of communication is also the ability to listen. To listen not only to yourself but to the other. Also, try to understand the nuances of words, to understand the emotion behind the words. Not all people are excellent in communicating. Some people have difficulty. The choice of words or the diction is not appropriate. When a person comes to you and speaks to you, also look at, Sheikh Sadullah, the body language, because the body language is 70 to 80% of what is communicated. Now, these are important aspects, and you find in all relationships where there's a conflict, it's often based on a lack of communication, or it's one-sided, or there isn't any kind of understanding what is being said, that you are so concerned about telling them exactly what you want to get done, you never listen with your heart to what their needs are. And if communication is mutually beneficial, it's not only about sharing information, it's also communicating your love and expressing it. In fact, in many human relations, you find there are those who, for some reason or the other, are reluctant to tell the other person, your wife, darling, I love you. These are beautiful words. And the wife has to assume that the husband loves her, but he's never said that. And part of it is to demonstrate it through communication, through action, and of course, through body language.
Which brings us to number five, resolving conflict.
Resolving conflict or misunderstandings must be through negotiation. And as Brother Idris just mentioned now, understanding. There's no understanding, you have nothing. Start the problem solving by listening to the other, really listening to the words and the meanings and the feelings. Sometimes people may say something, you know, you can say a word, it can have different meanings depending on the context. If you ask me, are you going to town? And I said, what? It can be I'm asking a question. Or if I'm going to town again, you say, are you going to town? I said, what? It's still what? But the tone will indicate a sarcasm in this case. Are you crazy? The first one is a question I didn't understand. So the word what is the same word, but the tone, expression, body language was different. So be very careful that start the problem solving by listening. Listening carefully, not only to the words, but also to the meanings behind the words. And respecting the other person's point of view. They may differ with you, but that's where we need to understand, because conflict implies a different perspective, a clash of ideas, a clash of perspectives in that issue. So you need to understand the other, not necessarily agree with them, but be empathic and to understand why they are saying what they are saying. You may never agree with what they are saying, but understand why they are saying so, so that that person realizes that you understand why they are saying and they may understand where you are as well. Resolving conflicts are much easier when all sides participate, or both sides participate in the solution, instead of one side dominating the decision-making process. Sometimes people resolve the conflict by giving their view, my way or the highway. So, you see, Dale Carnegie, the motivational speaker, once said, when dealing with people, remember, you are not dealing with creatures of logic, you are dealing with creatures of emotion. So this is very, very important. And I always believe, you know, to maintain good relationship, there must be what we call people respecting each other, not insulting or humiliating each other. People being supportive and conciliatory rather than confrontational. People communicating honestly and openly, not lying and deceiving. People willing to listen to more than their own side of the story, not stubborn or being close-minded. People working as a team, not as adversaries or as enemies. People negotiating rather than imposing, sharing responsibility rather than demanding or burdening, and complimenting and appreciating each other rather than criticizing and blaming. So resolving conflict begins with understanding the situation, listening carefully, and keeping your emotions in check.
The one point that I want to add is when you want to resolve a conflict, it's not about scoring points. This is important. Once you're concerned about scoring points, you know, massage your ego, then you will be no resolution. There are times, for example, when you got to almost reinvent yourself because people have images of each other. The wife might say, okay, we're going to sit and discuss this conflict, but I know, she'll tell the husband, I know how you're going to react. And that's not appropriate to make that comment because the husband might have for the first time in his life said, listen, I want to resolve something. Give me an opportunity. There must be openness. You've got to be clear in terms of what are the issues that are creating the conflict. The third thing is we need to have some parameters. Say, listen, whilst we want to resolve this conflict over here, these are some parameters. There'll be no name calling, no insulting, as you said, no humiliation. Be concerned about this. And we need to say these are the points we need to discuss. And then the whole idea of compromise. And in life, you know what? Life would be very boring if two people agree on everything. If my wife agrees with everything I say, then I said, darling, say, why don't you speak to me anymore? I said, because you agree with everything I say. So I know what you're going to say. So what is important is divergence of thinking is so important. Divergence is not about someone impinging on your thoughts, someone negating you, someone insulting you. It's healthy because through divergence, you can also enrich your own opinions about life. It's about sharing things. And this is the whole point. We must be optimistic. Some people, at the first sign of conflict, they raise up their hands. They said, this relationship must break off. I mustn't work anymore in this place. That person is an idiot, right? He makes those value judgments. But sometimes it could be through misinformation, a lack of understanding. And the most important thing I like to believe is your sincerity of purpose when you're trying to resolve conflict. And I like to believe all conflicts can be resolved. It depends largely on the maturity, understanding of individuals, and also about human dynamics.
We are discussing the seven essentials for improving human relations, and thus far we have explored 1. Be genuine and sincere. 2. Be ethical and consistent. 3. Be kind and empathic. 4. Improve communication. 5. Resolve conflict. Sheikh, let's look at 6. Appreciate and reciprocate.
Fundamental. This is the whole idea about relationships. It's not a one-way street. It's a dual thing, is both sides. Give equal importance to the feelings, the interests, and the needs of each person in your relationship. Don't forget, as I mentioned early on, you're one person, but you are 1,000 different persons or 1,000 different things to 1,000 different people. A father to one, a son to the other, and so on and so forth. And Imam Shafi, one of the great scholars, said, the most hurtful of matters is that you love someone. He was being romantic, by the way, that you love someone and the one who you love loves someone else. Or that you wish well for others and those whom you wish well for do not wish well for you. This is the most hurtful thing, he says. Develop the skill of both giving and receiving emotional and moral support. Some people come into our lives and go away quickly. Some come and stay for a while and leave imprints on our hearts. And we are never ever the same. Be one of those that makes a difference. You know, Charles Dickens said, and I quote the writer, he said, have a heart that never hardens, a temper that never tires, and a touch that never hurts. The idea of reciprocation is the idea of mutual affection, of mutual caring. And even if someone else is not as caring to you, don't you make them the standard between yourself and them. You become the standard. You be the moral guide. Instead of saying, I'll only be as good to them as they are to me, rather uplift them from where they are to realize that they be as good to you as you are to them. This is an old Sufi saying, oh God, may people treat me tomorrow the way I have treated them today.
In life, when it comes to human relations, what is it that will leave a legacy, something to touch the heart of the other? When he meets his friend, and his friend is so appreciative of him and tells him, you know, I value you as my friend. I value your opinion. There's something that ails me. What advice can you give me? And he advises you. And you tell him sincerely, thank you so much. You look him into the eye. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you. That moment will be something that he'll never forget. Even though he may not meet you again, he hears of your passing away, but he'll recall that incident vividly. And reciprocation is so critical. It can, as Sadullah said, and I want to reinforce it, it cannot be one-sided. If you, for example, enjoyed someone's hospitality, and no matter you may come from a very humble domicile, a humble home, offer your home. And I tell people that even a pauper can have a heart, a huge heart, that he can accommodate everyone. But a king, if he has a small heart, he won't have a place for anyone. It's about those aspects. It's about understanding that in life, we will meet people. Some people, as Sadullah said, will forget about you. But with sincerity and purpose, once you show appreciation, you reciprocate the kindness, even through gifts, whatever you can afford, that is such a beautiful thing. And in life, many people complicate lives unnecessarily. There's few fundamentals we need to understand, and appreciation, reciprocation, I like to believe is one of those fundamentals.
I want to add one more point. You don't have to reciprocate negativity. In other words, people have this notion, an eye for an eye in everything, that applies to punishment. So be very careful. Some people say, if he cheats me, I'll cheat him. That makes two cheats. Be very, very careful. Become the standard. There's a saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which says, do not be silly by saying that if people do good to me. In fact, a lady came to him and said, my family have treated me very negatively because I've embraced the faith. What shall I do? They treat me badly when I go there. Shall I treat them back the way they treat me? That's when he responded, this is, don't be silly by saying, I'll treat them the way they treat me. If they are good to me, I'll be good to them. And if they are bad to me, I'll be bad to them. Rather condition yourself. If they are good to me, I'll be good to them. And if they are not good to me, I'll still be good to them.
And the thought struck me again. Thank you so much, Sadullah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said three things. Join relationship those that broke up relationships with you. Do good to those who have harmed you. And forgive those who have hurt you. How beautiful it is.
Sheikh, and this brings us to the seventh essential for improving human relations. Accept others as they are.
This is very important. Now, make it very clear. It doesn't mean if someone is really bad or doing wrong things, you leave them to do the wrong. Your responsibility is to assist and to guide to the best of your ability. At the same time, to try to mind your own business if it's not your business. But if you can enhance someone's life in any way, you should do so, whether guiding them or assisting them in any way you can. But as regarding accepting others as they are, I think what you are referring to is recognize the fact that others are others. They are who they are. They are not you. Don't make yourself the moral high ground for everyone else. It's a sign of arrogance. They are who they are. They are not you. In fact, the theologian Thomas Kempis wrote, be not angry that you cannot make others the way you wish them to be, since you yourself has not made yourself the way you want to be. Are you the way you ought to be? Are you the way that you want to be? No. So why do you expect others to be the way you want them to be? But the idea is accept others where they are, as they are. In other words, don't expect them to be at a different level. Because if you're expecting that, you'll never engage them. You'll wait for them to come there. Like someone said, you know, if the mosques and churches and synagogues are for only for those who are perfect, none will enter churches or synagogues or mosques or temples except God himself. So there are those who are sinful, like us. There are those who are more sinful. There are those who are less sinful. There are those who are more pious. There are those who are less pious. They are where they are. But accept others as they are. Remember that there is so much goodness in the worst of us, and so much faults in the best of us, that it doesn't behove any of us to find fault and hatred with the rest of us.
The idea about accepting others as they are, for me, is perhaps the point. Because in life, you want others to accept us as we are. Then why the hypocrisy? The critical aspect is this, that when we have images, I think one of the philosophers, Krishnamurti, said, do not allow the thoughts of yesterday contaminate today. You may have a particular image of the guy yesterday, but something could touch his heart. You could transform him into a better human being. How often teachers would have said to an individual, a pupil in the class, you are useless, man. Nothing, you're able to do nothing.
Albert Einstein, an example.
Correct, correct. And in fact, what happens, as someone said, you must give pupils hope because you have no idea what the future holds. And often you might be working for them in the end. So the idea of accepting people, and because all of us are products of our home environment. We are shaped by our life experiences. That individual might have gone through some horrific experiences, some very negative experiences, not things that are liberating. Understand him. And once you understand an individual, you'll accept him. And nothing is more gratifying to the individual when a fellow human being, when others have ostracized him, excommunicated him, but you affirm and hug him.
We thank Brother Idris Khamisa and Sadullah Khan for an uplifting and practical presentation on improving human relations, having explained what relationships entail, how to effectively engage people, as well as elaborating on the 7 essentials for improving human relationships. 1. Be genuine and sincere. 2. Be ethical and consistent. 3. Be kind and empathic. 4. Improve communication. 5. Resolve conflict. 6. Appreciate and reciprocate. And 7. Accept others as they are. Thank you, and peace be unto you.